Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Yud Gimel in Maseches Erevin. It is the 231st daf in Shas. We will pick up from the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. We will be discussing a mysterious Talmud who in the Mishnah had disagreed with Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara will reveal the identity of this mysterious Talmud. I won't give it away. As well as some of his important students in our daf, and some of his important attributes. The Gemara will discuss other discussions between this mysterious Talmud and Rabbi Akiva and other areas of Shas, going down to the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, for example, in the halachos of writing a Sefer Torah and writing a Megillah Sota. Going to Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, we will discuss the requirement of Lishma by Get and by Sefer Torah, as well as the tremendous attributes of this mysterious Talmud, as well as this mysterious Talmud's other names. The Gemara then will talk about the value of the great opinions of the Tanoim, even if we do not follow them, lahalacha. For example, even in the Machlokis between Beis Sham and Beis Hillel, the Gemara brings in, this is one of the most important theological Gemaras in Shas, and that is Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim, right before the wide line in the context of the machlokis between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And the Gemara gives other famous machlokis between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Our daf is a fun one. Most of it is a respite from the intense Gemaras in Hilchos Erevin. And in fact, B'li Neder, the halacha from the daily daf, we will manage not to mention once, see if I could keep this string, or wood, and another detail of the halachos of Tzuras HaPesach. Let's, Be'ezer Hashem, take a look at the Mishnah on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, which is the source of the big discussion on the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. On Yud Aleph Amud Beis, we had a big machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether a mavli requires both a lechi and a korah. That's the opinion of Beis Shammai. Well, according to Beis Hillel, you require a lechi or a korah. A mysterious Talmud comes along, and he quotes in front of Rabbi Akiva, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, that the only machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is only if it's a mavui whose entrance is between 4 and 10 tfachim. However, less than 4 amas, then even Beis Shammai would agree you could use a lechi and a korah. And Rabbi Akiva did not like this, and Rabbi Akiva concluded the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Al-Zavazeh Nechliku. That's how our Gemara picks up on the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Rabbi Akiva Omer Al-Zavazeh Nechliku. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva Hainu Tanakama. Rabbi Akiva seems to simply repeating the Tanakama. In other words, we didn't need Rabbi Akiva to grandstand at the end of the Mishnah to repeat that which seemed to be clear from the opening lines of Mishnah. There was no indication that less than 4 amis Beis Shammai would require either a korah or a lechi. It seems like in all cases, according to the Tanakama, both is required. So the Gemara asks Rabbi Akiva, Hainu Tanakama, answers the Gemara, Ika Beinayu Derav Achli V'Yitema, Rabbi Chiel, that the opinion of Rav Achli, who is also referred to as Rabbi Chiel, we had earlier on Yud Beis Amud Aleph that Rabbi Chiel was of the opinion that a mavui that is less than 4 tvachim doesn't require a lechi or a korah. Says the Gemara, that is the nafkamina between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakama. One of them holds that there still is a requirement, and one of them holds that there isn't. Velo misaimi, and we don't have a tradition which one held which way, and that's the only way we could explain how Rabbi Akiva is not being repetitious. Tanya Amar Rabbi Akiva, lo Amar Rabbi Shmuel Dover Zeh. We learn Bryce Rabbi Akiva was critical, and he said that this was not something that Rabbi Shmuel had taught, that less than 4 amos, according to Beis Shammai, there isn't a requirement of both a lechi and a korah, and you have a choice between a lechi or a korah. Ela osa Talmud Omer Davazeh. It was this Talmud himself who said it. Va'alocha kosa Talmud, and we follow the halacha like this Talmud. Ask Gemara Gufa Kasha. Amrit, on the one hand, you said, lo Amr Rabbi Shmuel Davazeh, that Rabbi Shmuel didn't even say this. That sounds like you don't like this opinion at all of the mysterious Talmud. It sounds like you don't follow this. Father, Amrit Halach Kosa Talmud, and that at the same time you say the Halach is like him. You even reject that Rabbi Shmuel never even said this. How could that possibly be to on the one hand say the Halach is like him and say this doesn't even have a source amongst any of the older Tanoim? Amr Rabbi Yudah Mishmuel, lo Amr Rabbi Akiva El Chadeid Ba HaTalmidim. Rabbi Akiva said this to sharpen the Talmidim. Rashi explains that Rabbi Akiva wanted the Talmidim as a collector's item because Rashi here uses an expression that became popular in later centuries, wanted the Talmidim to be mefalpel in their hearts, and therefore he said the halacha was this way, to get them to think critically whether this was correct or not. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, he suggests a different approach. Nirin Itmar, he wasn't saying that we actually paskin like this Talmud, but there is a lot of logic behind his argument. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Komokum Shatam Moitzim Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amar Talmud Echa Lefnei Rabbi Akiva. This expression we have, that one particular Talmud said from Rabbi Shmuel in front of Rabbi Akiva, now we reveal who the anonymous Talmud is. Eino Ela Rabbi Meir. It's in reference to Rabbi Meir Shishimesh Es Rabbi Shmuel Ve'es Rabbi Akiva, that he was zochet to serve both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. This sanya, as we learn in a brisa and sota on Daf Chof, Amar Rabbi Meir, Kishayisi Eitzel Rabbi Shmuel, when I was by Rabbi Shmuel, Halya Matil Kan Kenusel Mesoch Adyo, I would put black dye into the ink that was used for the Sefer Torah, but it wasn't the normal dye. It was a sort of, or more precisely, it wasn't the normal ink. It was a dye that normally would not be used for writing. V'lo amar li davar, and Rabbi Shmuel didn't say anything. Kishbasa etzel Rabbi Akiva, asra lai. But when I came to Rabbi Akiva, he prohibited it to me. So we see that Rabbi Meir was zochet to hang around both Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and he had different traditions from the times that he was in the vicinity of Rabbi Shmuel versus when he was around Rabbi Akiva. Asks the Gemara, "Eini v'amar of Yehuda amar Shmuel mishum Rabbi Meir kishi isi lo min etzer Rabbi Akiva ha'isi matil kan kenusel mesochad diyov v'lo amar li davar." The opposite order. When I was by Rabbi Akiva, I put this dye inside of the ink, and he didn't protest. U'kishabasi etzer Rabbi Shmuel amar li b'ni mamlachtecha, and Rabbi Shmuel asked me, "What's your profession?" Amarti lo lavlar. I am a sofa. Amar le bini, havizor b'melachtecha. Be careful in your work. Shemelachtecha melecha shemayimi. Your melacha that you're doing to write Sefer Torah is avoda for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shema ata mechaser osa achas o miyoser achas. Be careful not to take out one letter of the Sefer Torah or add one letter. Nimtzis machrives hakol olam kulo. If you do chas v'chalil, you'll destroy the entire world. The Mefarshim say, Nevesh HaChaim writes that every word of the Torah was part of the creation. That's what presumably Rabbi Shmuel is referring to when he's giving this message to Rabbi Meir. Amarti lo dover achad yeshli. V'kankusim shemo, and it's a die called kankus, shani matal selchadio. Amar li v'chi matilin kankinusim selchadio. Could you add it in? V'alo amra Torah. V'kosav, when it comes to the sota, you're supposed to write the parsha of the Torah on parchment. Umachan, then it's supposed to be erased. And of course, erased into the water that the sota drinks. Ksav, shiyachal, limchos. It needs to be something that could be entirely erased. Now, the dye of kankenusim leaves a strong impression, says Rashi. The Gemara clarifies, what exactly did Rabbi Shmuel say, and Rabbi Meir respond? In other words, what Rabbi Shmuel was preaching to Rabbi Meir was to be careful in chaseros and yeseros. Then why is it that Rabbi Meir responded by talking about the kankenusim that he was adding into the dio? Hachi Karmale, this is what Rabbi Meir responded to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel spoke about the importance of the Seiros and the Chaseiros. Lo mi boi b'chaseiros b'yiseiros d'lo t'ina d'bakyana. That I am confident I will not make a mistake because I am a baki in them. El afilu meichesh l'zvuv nami. Even in regards to the fear of a fly coming, d'lma asiv yasiv atagi d'dals, lest he sit on the top of the crown of a dals u'machikle, u'mashvi le'reish, and he'll turn it into the dalet, into a reish, Dover acher yeshli. I have something else to combat that. The kankenusim shemoy, and its name is kankenusim, that makes sure that it won't get easily re-aced. Shani matel selche hadio, that I put inside the dio. Now this clarifies the give and take, and this also verifies that the anonymous and mysterious Talmud makes a lot of sense that that Talmud in our mission, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, is Rebbe, Meir. However, the question still remains. There were two different reports. In one instance, we had Rebbe Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, say that Rebbe Meir was first by Rebbe Akiva and then went to Rebbe Yishmael. Kasha Shimush Ashimush. We have a difficulty who was Rebbe Meir Meshamesh first. Kasha Osra Osra. And there also is a difficulty who it was that prohibited for him the Kankinusim. According to the first tradition, Rebbe Akiva prohibited it. According to the second tradition, it was Rebbe Shmuel. Says Gemara, Bishlam Mishimush Hashimush, we continue on the first wide line, Yigim Lomadav, Loi Kasha, there's no difficulty. Meikar Asla Kamed Rebbe Akiva. Originally, he learned by Rebbe Akiva, Umudalo Matzin, make him Ali Bey. And when Rebbe Meir wasn't able to follow him. Wow. Rabosai, you ever gone to a shir and it was hard to follow? You're in great company. Rebbe Meir didn't follow Rebbe Akiva. Ad kedei kach. You have to ask the Rebbe what's the right thing. But Rebbe Meir left the shir Rebbe Akiva because he couldn't follow. Also, kamed Rebbe Shmuel. Then he went to Rebbe Shmuel, the Gomer Gemara. And he learned a lot of Gemaras. Vahadar. Once he learned a lot of Gemaras, also kamed Rebbe Akiva Savra Svara. And then he was able to get into the Svaras. This is an important pedagogical lesson that a lot of times, if it's a difficult shir, it's probably that there are certain basics that the Talmud didn't get down. Once the Talmud goes back and he's Gomer Gemara, obviously this is on the great Madriga Rabbi Shmuel, then he'll be able to go back and Savra Svara. Okay, so that's what happened in regards to the Shimush. He was in both at different stages for Shimush. Ela Asra Asra Kasha, but in regards to the question of who asked the Kankinusim, Kasha, that we leave off as a question. The Gemara now just continues to discuss the halachas of the Kankinusim, the halacha in regards to this die. And an interesting opinion emerges four lines into the wide in Gimel Amud Aleph. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Meir Haya Omer. Rabbi Meir taught, L'chol matilin Kankinusim l'socha dio. You're allowed to put, in all cases, the die into the ink, where it is the ink will last longer. Chutz mi parsha saita. Except for Parshas Saita. As we mentioned above, that by Parshas Saita there's a mitzvah to be mocha, to erase. If there's a mitzvah to erase, it's harder to erase with the Kankinusin. Hence, when they wrote the Parshas Saita, they would not add it. Rabbi Yaakov Amar Mishmai, Chutz Misarshas Saita, Shebe Migdash. Not Parshas Saita in general, but specifically in the Migdash, because it was used for the Saita.
The Gemara asks, "My Beinai, what's the difference between whether it is the din of Parsha Saita in the Migdash or Parsha Saita in the Torah in general?" Amar Biyirmi Olim Choy Kloy Min Atari Kebeinai. The Nafkamin is going to be whether you could erase a Parsha from the Torah, take a Torah, and write and erase from it the Parsha of Saita. If you hold that the halacha is that Parshas Saita in the Torah itself can't have Kankinusim, so the same thing would apply in regards to using it in the Migdash, and that would mean that you could use any Sefer Torah for Parsha Saita. However, if you hold that the prohibition of using Kankinusim is only for the Parsha Saita, but in a regular Sefer Torah there isn't a requirement that prohibits the use of Kankinusim, then you would not be able to use a regular Sefer Torah for the Parsha. Whether you could use a Sefer Torah for the Parsha Saita, the Gemara suggests, should be dependent on another Machlokes Tanoim. Vahani Tanoi Kahani Tanoi. That should be dependent on another Machlokes Tanoim, whether you're allowed to use a Megillah that was originally written for one woman as a Saita for another woman. Desanya, we learned in Brisa, a Megillah Sekshera, Lahashkis Basaita Acheras. If a Megillah Sota was written for Rachel, it can no longer be used for Leah. Rabbi Achi Bar Yosha Amar Megillas Ksherasa Kshera LaHashkis Basaita Acheres. Rabbi Achi says no, that it could be used for Leah as well. Now, if we're going to say that you could use what was written for Rachel for Leah, then they would say that you could use something that was written for a Sefer Torah and then use it for a Saita. If you hold that it has to be written specifically for this woman. A Sefer Torah wasn't specifically written for this woman. Amar Rav Papa, Dilma Lohi, Ad Kan Leikamer Tanakam Ha'asam, says Rav Papa, no. Maybe the Tanakam over there says that what was written for Rachel can't be used for Leah. Elakiva de'intek l'shum Rachel, once it was taken away from use for Rachel, Sula Hadra Mintika Lashum Leah. You can no longer use it for Leah. Avagabi Taira. The Mistama Ksiva Michtava. It was written Stam. Hachinami de Machkinan. You could have it erased for a Saita. So the two issues aren't going to be totally with each other. Maybe specifically the Mandarma who holds that what was written for Rachel can't be used for Leah is because it was already designated for Rachel. Sefer Torah was written Stam. Now the Gemara introduces this far in the opposite direction. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Dilma Loi Ad Kan Lo Kamar Rav Achi Bar Yoshia. When did Rav Achi Bar Yoshia say that the halacha is that you can use that which was written for Rachel for Leah? That would only be in regards to where the Megillah, the Parsha of Saita, was originally written for Saita. Ad Kan Lo Kamar Rav Achi Bar Yoshia Asam El Dichtav Mias L'Shem Saita B'Shum Saita Ba'olam was written for a Saita. Aval Gabe Torah, but when it comes to Torah, the Islamic Siva, it was written not for Saita at all, it was for people to learn. Hachinami D'Loi Machkinan. So then in such a case, we would say that you're not allowed to erase it. Asks the Gemara, V'lesa the Rav Achi Bar Yoshia, who says that you could use that which was written for Saita Rachel, for Saita Leah. Hadis Nan. What about the requirement of Lishma? We learn in Gittin in the Mishnah on Chav Dalet Amid Aleph. Kosev get Lagaris Lishistra. A person writes to get to divorce his wife. V'nimlach, and he changes his mind. And he decides not to divorce her. Umatza ben Iro. And he finds someone in the city. V'amr Shimcha Kishmi. Hashem Ishtacha Kishem Ishti. And the names are the same. Pasul Lagaris Ba. You're not allowed to use it. Why? Because it was written for this woman and not for this woman. So what do we see? That written for one woman can't be transposed and written for another woman. The same thing should apply to Saita. Says Gemara, Hachi Ashta Hasam. There's a kasev that needs to be written l'shem this woman. For kasev la beinan ksiv. Beinan ksiv l'shma needs to be written l'shem that particular woman. Hacha, here it doesn't say for kasev la, but also la ksiv. Beinan asi l'shma needs to be made for, not necessarily written for. Asiya dida. What is asiya for? Saita mechika. As long as the mechika was done for, that's going to be enough. The Gemara now goes back discussing the milas, the great attributes to Rabbi Meir. Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, five lines on top, and you give him a base. Golav yadu afnei misha amar vaya olam. It's well known towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'em b'dayre shel Rabbi Meir Kamaisai. There was no one like Rabbi Meir. And what's the reason that we don't pass like Rabbi Meir if there was no one who paralleled him? Amazing idea. Shelo yachlu chaver of lamod asof daita. That his friends sometimes didn't know what was the ultimate opinion that Rabbi Meir felt was the correct shita. Shehu amar al tameitar. Because at times he would explain why something that is tame should be tar. Umare lo panim al tar tame. Umare lo panim. At times he would explain why a tame should be tar and give explanation of that. And there were times that something that was tar he would say should be tame and give an explanation of that. In other words, Rashi explains he would give svaris that were there to sharpen the talmidim, but not necessarily there to paskin, and sometimes his chaverim didn't know which way he intended to paskin. Tana lo Rabbi Meir Shemai, ilo Rabbi Nohi Roy Shemai. Rabbi Meir's name was Rabbi Nohi Roy. Olam nikra Shemai Rabbi Meir Shu Meir Einei Chacham Ba'alacha. In the way he challenged the chachamim, he would light up the halacha. The way to light up the halacha would seem from the Gemara. Sometimes the question, why is the tahar not tame? V'loinoi roi shmai el Reb Nechemya shmai. Not only was his name not Reb Meir, it also was not noi roi, rather Reb Nechemya. V'amri lan, some say Reb Elazar ben Arach shmai. V'lominikra shmai noi roi sheman hir eini chacham ba'halacha. A beautiful, beautiful line the Gemara continues with. Amir Rebbe, haide mechadedana mechavroi. Those who were the sharpest of the friends, the Chazisei l'Rabbi Meir me'achoreh, they were those who were able to see the back of Rabbi Meir when Rabbi Meir said shir. Ilu Chazisei mekamei ha'mechadidin atfei. They would be even sharper if they had sat in front of him. Tichsiv ha'yu aynecha royais esmairecha. This is the makar to look at Rabbeim. Now, it doesn't necessarily talk about Gedolim pictures, but it says the idea of encountering the front of the Rebbe, all of his facial expressions, and all of his intensity, the lines on the face, the smile, the frown, the excitement, all of that can only be seen when sitting in front of Rabbi Meir. I'm Rabbi Avraham, Rabbi Yochanan, Talmid. How you love the Rabbi Meir? V'simchus Shemay. Rabbi Meir had Talmud Simchus. Shoyu Omer al Kol Dover V'Dover Shel Tuma. Arboim V'Shmoni Tamei Tuma. V'Al Kol Dover V'Dover Shel Tahara. Arboim V'Shmoni Tamei Tahara. He was able to give 48 reasons why something would be tar and 48 reasons why something should be tamei. Maybe we could add that when it came to Simchus, that ultimately Simchus used the challenge of Rabbi Meir to, who would at times give reasons why a Torah should be Tameh, that Simchus didn't use it to distort, but rather he was able to develop the power of reasoning to the point that he was not explaining why that which is Torah is Tameh, which is Tameh is Torah, but he was able, because of the challenges of Rabbi Meir, he was able to give 48 reasons for Tumah and Tahara. Tana Talmud Vasekoy B'Yavna, there was an old Talmud that was in Yavnesh, he would go and be Mitaris Sheretz, Meiv Chamishim Tam, and give 150 reasons why a Sheretz should be Tameh. Excuse me, should be Tahar. Amar Avina Ani Adam Ve'Atarena. I will also give a reason that it should be Tahar. Uma Nachash Shememis Umar Betuma. When it comes to a Nachash that he has the ability to kill, and he increased more Tumah in the world by producing Tumah through his bite, Tar, yet nevertheless he's Tar. Sheretz, Shein Mamis, Umar B'Tumah, he doesn't kill and doesn't bring Tumah. Loi Kol Shekein, certainly he should be Tar. V'loihi, but that is not a valid Raya. Why? What's wrong with the Kavach Chaymer? Maisa Koitz Ba'almahu, Kavid. All the snake is doing is, he's just like a thorn. Just like a thorn could kill, the Nachash kills. But there's nothing significant about the Nachash. Maybe what the Gemara is saying on a deeper level is at the end of the day, who's Meimis U'Mechaya? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at the source of life or death. The Nachash, there's nothing inherent in the Nachash of its ability to kill. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu who kills. Hence, its role in Misa is nothing that gets to its essence. The essence of Meimis U'Mechaye is only in the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore the Kal V'Chomer falls away. The Gemara contains four lines before the wide. Amar on Yigimon Beis, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel, Shalosh Shanim, Nechleku Beis Shammai U'Beis Hillel. We had mentioned the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the beginning of the Daf, and the Gemara continues with that. There were 3 years that there was machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Halalu Amar Alokim Asin, Hillel Amru, Valalu Amar Alokim Asinu. Each one claimed that Allah was like them. Yotza Baskel, another famous Gemara. Va'amra, the Baskel went out, Va'amra, and said, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Both of them are the words of the living God. Fa'alacha kebeis Hillel. But the Halacha follows Beis Hillel. Ask the Gemara, v'chimi'acha shil ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim b'nei ma'azachu Beis Hillel k'va Halacha malson. If the Halacha is just as well like Beis Shammai, because it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then why was Halacha nikba like Beis Hillel? Mipnei, because they had good midas. Shenochin va'alovin hayu v'shonin divrein. V'divrei Beis Shammai. Number one, they were easy to get along with. They were willing and able to tolerate people, as we see from the Mida of Hillel himself in the Gemara in Bameh Madlikin, of how he was patient with people who asked him strange questions and with Gerim. Incidentally, in contrast to Shammai, not only that, they would review the words of Shammai. They didn't ostracize the words of Shammai. They embraced it and they analyzed them. Not only that, they would quote Beis Shammai first. Like, for example, this is what we learned in a famous machlokes in Sukkah. That if the person's hand in the majority of his body is in the Sukkah, and his table is in the house. Beis Shammai, Paisim, Beis Hillel, Machshirin. Beis Shammai says Paisim, Beis Hillel says Kasher. Amru Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. Lo kachay Maisa, Shalchu Ziknei Beis Shammai, Ziknei Beis Hillel, Vakas, Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharanes, Tzu Yoshev, Roshev, Ruba, Besuk, Veshachan, Besech, Ba'ayis. Didn't they find that he had his table in the house? Amru Beis Shammai, Mishum Raya. Afein Amru Lo, Im kachay Yisanog, Lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah, that the Chachamim said to them, that you weren't mekayim mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. This comes to teach you the fact that Beis Shammai was always shown deference by Beis Hillel. Shekol hamash bilatzmo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu magi biyoy. If someone lowers himself down, HaKadosh Baruch Hu raises him up. V'chol ha-magbi atzmoi, and whoever raises himself up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashbil, HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts him down. Kalamachzer al Agdula, someone who runs after greatness, Gedola Barachas Mimenu, the Gedula runs away from him. The Kalabarech Min Agdula, Gedola Machzer Sacharov, then Gedula runs after him. The Kaladechik as Hashah, and somebody who tries to push the hour. For example, Rashi says he tries to become rich, and he doesn't become. And he pushes more. Shadach Kasad, and the hour pushes him away. And the one who's pushed away but doesn't push more, ultimately, the right time will stand up for him. Tana Rabbanan and the Gemara now quotes a very important theological machlokas, a fundamental machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that has profound implications in general. Shtei shanim u'machzah nechlek u'Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. There were 2.5 years that Beis Shammai Beis Hillel had an ongoing machlokas. Halalu aymrim. One group said, better a person not be created than to be created at all, because he's going to sin. And the other group was more optimistic. Say, better that he be created to do good things. And they decide, they came to a decision, it would have been better not to be created, but now that we are created, a person should search his actions. Rashi learns the distinction between Yifashvesh, and we're about to see Yimashmesh, is Yifashvesh means that he should look into the Averos that he did and do Vidui. V'amilon, some say Yimashmesh b'maisav. Rashi explains that if he has an opportunity to do a mitzvah, he should be constantly weighing Hefsin mitzvah, the loss of doing a mitzvah connected to schara, and he shouldn't allow himself to give up that opportunity. So one is a cheshbon of doing averis, of the averis that he did, yifashmish b'maisav, and the other is yimashmish b'maisav, is to keep in mind the value of things that are really, really important. This Bezer Hashem concludes Daf Yud Gimel in Maseches Erev. Bezer Hashem, we now go to the halacha from the daily daf after this beautiful and such an important agadita, one of the most important agaditas, dapim in all of Shas, Yud Gimel Amud Beis in Erevin.
Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, our halacha topic from Daf Yud Gimel will entitle Pluralism and Good Learning versus Bad Learning. And one of the most important sugyas in Shas from a theological perspective, and not only from theology, but also in very, very practical terms, in very halacha lemaisa terms, as we will see in a moment. The Gemara gets at the core of everything that we've been trying to do in our Talmud Torah and our understanding in the pursuit of Iyun b'Torah Shebaal Peh. The Gemara tells us that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel neither was wrong. In a very, very famous expression, the Gemara says, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim, that the words of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were both the words of the living God, Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a celebrated piece, the Ritva quotes on our Gemara, the Rabbeinu Tzarfas, that asked the basic question, and that is, how is it possible that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel be correct? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a directive of emes. So either the bracha is, as Beis Hillel says, Bore Ma'ore Ha'esh, for example, in the end of Brachos, or Beis Shammai's position of Bore Ma'or Ha'esh. How could both be correct? And the Ritva quotes from Rabbeinu Tzarfas, a beautiful teretz. Ki kisha'ala Moshe l'maram l'kabal ha'toira, heru lo ha'kol dover v'dover mem tes ponim l'hati or mem tes ponim l'iser. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is beautiful and complex. There were actually 49 reasons to be Michael and 49 reasons to be Machmir. V'shol kutsha b'richo ha'kach, Va'amer sheyeheze mosul chachmei yisrael shebechol dor v'dor. V'yiyah hachraha kemosan. The Torah has a beautiful system to it, with a system of logic. And sometimes the system of logic would say that there is a reason to make a borei ma'ora esh, and there's also a reason to say borei ma'ora esh. Take a look at Rav Zevin's beautiful essay on the dynamic of the machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the Sefer La'or HaLacha. The Ritva also is connecting the two Gemaras. We learned in the Gemara above that Sumchus was able to find 49 reasons for every halacha. And we also learned that Rabbi Meir was able to justify, based on the logic of the Torah, to explain and thereby even confuse, sometimes the Gemara says, and that's why we didn't follow the halacha according to Rabbi Meir,
to explain why something that was tar should be tame, why something that's tame should be tar. So at the end of the day, there is a pluralism, if you will, in the halacha, in the sense that both reasons sometimes make sense within the system of Torah. This is spelled out even more clearly by Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolios in the name of the Gra, within the context of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that Beis Shammai was being Megala one part, and Beis Hillel was being Megala another part. For example, the Gemara says that one should not divorce one's wife unless Motzah Ba Ervas Davar, that she was Mizana. On the other hand, the opinion of Beis Hillel is that even if she spoils the food. Ultimately, the Gemara says, obviously this is not halacha l'maisa, this is just bringing out a basic example of this. Ultimately, the Gemara says that when it comes to the first marriage, so then it should only be Ervas Davar. If it's a second marriage, so then afilu ikdicha tavshilo. Says the Gra. The Mishnah quotes Beis Shammai as saying, only if Ervas Davar. Beis Hillel says, even if she ruins the food. Both are correct, klape HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One was Zivug Rishon, one was Zivug Sheni. Beis Shammai was able to take one part of the halacha, and he emphasized it, and Beis Hillel took another part of the halacha, and part of our job is to be able to fit the pieces together. This is the approach of the Ritva, the Gra. It is well known that the Chidah and the Sefer Pesach Hinayim gives a different understanding of our Gemara, Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chaim. He says there is one correct halacha. However, the way in which one could clarify the correct halacha is only to create a contrast, to create a straw man. And with that, the correct halacha will also become clearer. This also comes out from the way we explained in the Gemara Rebbe Meir above as well. There Rebbe Meir emphasized a reason to be metameh, to sharpen his talmidim, to see that they really truly understood why the item was tahar, and that's why he emphasized a side for tameh. Both pshatim emerge from the Gemara, but they're clearly different approaches in terms of how broad do we take an opinion that is not accepted lahalacha like the opinion of Beis Shammai. Let us turn this academic discussion and theological discussion, which has profound philosophical implications, and bring it into very practical terms. First, in an obscure case quoted by Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein in the Chashukei Chemed, and then in other examples as well of Talmud Torah. Rabbi Zilberstein discusses an individual who took a neder. That's what makes this a little bit obscure, because most people don't do this, and one should not do this, took a neder to learn only those things that are lahalacha. He asks, what would we say about, he's spending one seder a day, he wants to make sure he knows halacha, what would the halacha be then for this individual to study the opinion of Beis Shammai? So what emerges, he suggests, is clearly if he committed to learn halacha, he shouldn't learn agadita. If we're following the opinion of the Ritva, so then in such a case, the Ritva said that Beis Shammai is just legitimate lahalacha as well as Beis Hillel. Particularly, there's a Zohar that's quoted as saying that Lasa Lava, we're going to paskin like the opinion of Beis Shammai. If that's so, according to the Ritva and the Gra, there definitely is an important place to learn the opinion of Beis Shammai. However, according to the Chidah that says that the shita that's rejected is only called Elu Velu Divrei Elokim Chaim to reveal light. On the other, there Rav Zilberstein says it could very well be that he should not learn the shitas of Beis Shammai. I would argue that even according to the Chidah, there's room to say that it would not be a violation of his neder if he spent some time understanding Beis Shammai, because the Chidah, according to the Chidah as well, there wouldn't be a problem. Why? Because according to the Chidah himself, we have Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai was codified as Torah. Even if it's not mechuvan ala emes, even if it's not directed to emes, the ultimate emes, it definitely helps us shed light on the shita that is rejected. So let's say we don't paskin like a Taz, for example, but by understanding the Taz's arguments and what we would speculate is the Shach's Terutzim, ultimately that gives us better understanding, not of the Taz, but of the Shach as the Chida explained, and therefore learning the Taz would be a process in the Shita of Halacha as well. If someone will tell me, but he's right now not focusing on the Shach, he's trying to understand the Taz, it doesn't matter, because according to the Chida, because at the end of the day, understanding the Taz better will help him understand the Shach better as well, according to the Chida. Rav Zilberstein accurately concludes, it's important to keep in mind that if the Neder was made just as an abstract idea, what constitutes la Halacha, which clearly, according to the Ritva, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel qualify as the Halacha, and we argued even the Chida is part of the process, leaving Beis Shammai is in the process of Halacha. At the same time, there is another variable that must be kept in mind, which is very, very important, and that is the opinion of the Shach in Yerideya, in Simen Resh Mem Vav, Sif Katan He, where the Shach decries that if people don't have a lot of time to learn, he decries the Balabatim. Many Rabbeim would say, Halavai, today we should have this problem. But in the time of the Shach, he said they were learning Gefes, Gemara, Pirush, Rashi, and Tosos, and they didn't have more time to learn Halacha as well. And therefore, the Shach says that it's better that they spend time learning Sifrei Poskim, because this way they will come out knowing Halacha, even if they enjoy their learning. But at the same time, it's a responsibility to know Halacha, Lilmod al Menas Lasos. That is a different ballgame. If, in such an instance, the person took a neder that he wants to learn Halacha, Lilmod al Menas Lasos, so it could very well be that all these shitos fall into the purview of Halacha, but Halacha, Lilmod al Menas Lasos, it's important, and here we get to good learning versus bad learning. The Shach says that for a person who has a limited amount of time, good learning would constitute learning that directs towards Halacha Lamaisa, and it seems that if he only learned Gemara, Pirush, Rashi, and Tosos, the Shach seems to be critical. One more very, very important point that has been discussed by Talmidei Chachamim, and I think confuses many who are not familiar with the sugya, and it has profound implications of the dearest thing in our life, Kehem Chayenu Varech Emenu Talmud Torah. I'd like to clarify this issue about the scope of Elu Velu Divrukim Chayim and the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. There is a very important Rashi that one of my great Rabbeim, Rav Herschel Schechter, taught me from the Gemara in Ksubis on Nun Zayin Amid Aleph that limits the scope of Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. The question is how far you take this Rashi. Rashi says that if there is a machlokis amongst Amoraim about what their Rebbe, the Amora, said, in such a case, one opinion is right and one opinion is wrong. Either the Rebbe said Aser or the Rebbe said Mutter. Therefore, Rashi says it doesn't constitute Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim for the opinion that's incorrect. To put it through the Ritva and the Chida, if there's simply an error of transmission, which can happen, then there is a responsibility to fix that error of transmission. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is maftiach that the halacha has a special siyata d'shmaya lo yomer sefer haTorah hazem ipicha. This Torah will never leave Klal Yisrael. And that Torah includes Torah Shebel Peh as well as Torah Shebiksav. See an excellent explanation of this for one of Rav Schechter's Talmidim, Rav Danny Stein, in Beis Yitzchak Lamed Hei, which we will get to in a moment, a part of it which will disagree in how Rav Stein presents the Shita of Rashi. If there is an error in the transmission, of course, it doesn't qualify as Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. Says Rashi, when do we say Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim? When each one of the opinions has a svara. That fits in, of course, beautifully into the explanation that we had given in the Ritva. There is a sensitive issue, a nuanced issue, that emerges of how to read the Rashi. Is Rashi saying that when there is a machlokis of what the opinion of the Gemara is, or what the opinion of the Tana is, or what the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is, that we don't say of those opinions, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim? This Rav Stein reports in the name of a great Talmud Chacham on page 688 in the Beis Yitzchak, where he writes, "The divrei bnei Adam, the opinions of people, including Amorayim, ein lahem ela pirush achas v'kavana achas."
Umemela yeshita shu emes lekavanas hagemara. There's one opinion that's correct. V'yeshita shatol b'kriyas hagemara. And there's another opinion that's incorrect. In a machlokas between the Ritva and Tosas of how to read the Gemara, so then there's only one correct opinion, he argues. Ulechein nira delibud ribuy hashitos beina rishonim she'ena mikubalim lahalacha. And for that reason, if one learns many opinions of rishonim that are not accepted lahalacha, shenechleku ba'avonas eza sugyas b'hagemara, that are arguing about understanding of the Gemara, lo ave afilu b'chlal mitzvah delimra Torah. This is a startling line. It's not included in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Ela batzmusa have bittel Torah. He argues it's considered bittel Torah. Rashi told us that if they're arguing about what he said, he could have only have said one thing. V'rak shayich bo inyan delimna Torah b'daris hechsher mitzvah. Maybe it's a hechsher mitzvah that'll help us understand different sugya, or it'll help shed, here he begins to open up the possibility, it'll shed some light about our understanding in another sugya. I have 2 points that I would like to respond in regards to the above-mentioned assertion that Rav Stein Shlita makes. In one way, I strongly disagree. On the other hand, I do think that he's making an important point, pedagogical point, in terms of chinuch for Talmidim. In regards to the notion that one is not mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, if there are two opinions that are arguing within a mefarish, two legitimate opinions, I don't think that this was at all the kavana of Rashi, and chas v'chalila to say that a machlokis between the Ritva and Tosas about what Abaye is saying is bittel Torah, or for that matter, a machlokis between the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Brura about what the kavana of the Shulchan Aruch is, even taking, let's say, the tradition that I have from Rav Nevinzal, that when it comes to a machlokis la'alacha, we follow the Mishnah Brura and not the Aruch HaShulchan. And the reason why the Rashi is not relevant over here at all is because a machlokis between the Ritva and Tosas within Abaye is not a machlokis about what Abaye said. It's about what Abaye means. And that sometimes Abaye was not Megala. And that sometimes the Shulchan Aruch was not Megala. And that is exactly a machlokis of a Svara that we saw that there are different Svaros Lekan u'Lekan. That if you have a Talmud Chacham, and of course, as Rav Schechter emphasizes, he needs to be someone who's Roi Lahora, a person who's a real, real Baal Madrega, who has a Hekef in Kol HaTorah Kula, to say Abaye could mean this, the Shulchan Aruch could mean this, then this becomes a Machlokis Svar, which Rashi Gufa said is Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. We don't see Rashi ever saying that by definition, because it's a person who said it, who's one of the Chachmei HaMesorah, that Svara is not relevant anymore. The Svara of Elu ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim is not relevant anymore. The Svara of Elu ve'elu Divrei Chaim is relevant. Why? Because the Posek is taking into account the whole corpus of Kol HaTorah Kula, and both possibilities exist, the 49 Svaros L'Tameh and the 49 Svaros L'Taher. Chas v'chalila, should one be mitzamtzeim the beauty of Amelus B'Torah and say that we will only learn, for example, the Sefer Mishnah Brura and not Aruch HaShulchan, because the Mishnah Brura we're going to follow the Halacha and not the beautiful Sefer of Aruch HaShulchan. Is there any greater Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim than the breadth of the way the Aruch HaShulchan develops a sugya, which you don't even have in the awesome Sefer of Mishnah Brura? However, I do think that there is a very, very important point that does emerge outside of Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim, which gets involved in good learning versus bad learning. And that is, and I've heard Rav Schechter made this point in a totally different context from Elu Ve'elu, which is a very, very important point, and that is the learning of many, of going very slowly and learning many, many, many different shitas within one sugya, I think, in my small experience in chinuch, is a pedagogical mistake.
to really understand the corpus of Torah, the Elu ve'Elu, the pluralism, if you will, of Torah, the beauty of Torah, the Svaros, Lekan u'Lekan, a Talmud needs to have a sense of the breadth of Torah. By the way, the breadth of Torah doesn't mean making a Siyum HaShas of Gemara. A breadth of Torah means knowing Tanakh well and knowing Mishnayis well, and focusing on the basic texts, as opposed to giving many, many Marimekomos. If a Talmud is encouraged to read a Gemara very carefully, a Rashi carefully, and a Tosis carefully, they will end up gaining a lot more than seeing many, many, many different Shitas HaRishonim. And here Rav Schechter's point is extremely valuable, that in the ultimate conceptual shir, the shir of Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, Rav Soloveitchik did not utilize many, many Shitas HaRishonim. If you read the shirim of Rav Soloveitchik carefully, you'll see they're penetrating questions that are asked in the Gemara, Rashi and Tosos and Rambam. Not many other Shitas HaRishonim are used. So for sure, of all the other Rishonim, one could say, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Yet the point becomes a valuable point in terms of pedagogy, and that is for Talmidim really to see the Svaros, Lekan u'Lekan, to see the Omek, to see the beauty, to appreciate the corpus of Torah. Sometimes, less is more. And encouraging them to focus on the blot ultimately will bring them to a deeper understanding of Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes a practical, conceptual, and possibly even philosophical discussion of the very important issue of Elu ve'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. Obviously, in Halacha from the Daily Daf, we cannot be makif, we cannot truly touch and develop all the important issues, but nevertheless, in terms of a basic outline of the issues of Elu ve'Elu, from the perspective of Daf Yomi, I hope my dear friends and Talmidim have gained some direction.